My name's Anthony Weber. I'm an independent political commentator, and I have got a background in politics and business and political commenting, and I go to all the party political conferences. I've done so for the last few years, and I'm particularly interested in honesty and transparency from politicians. And when it comes to by-elections, I believe very strongly that the candidate should be accountable to the electors, and they should be honest about what their views are on key issues of the
I mean, if you
day.
go back to the origins of the whole parliamentary system and democracy in Britain, we used to get things called hustings, and in those hustings would be literally people would be stood in the area of the where the election was taking place, and people would be asking them questions. They would give speeches, there'd be questions and answers, and it was almost as if it was a gigantic MP surgery with people able to lob, I mean, even heckle, I suppose, the MP candidates. Nowadays, everything is very much going on through mostly through the broadcast media, and people hear things on the radio, they see it on the TV, but this, of course, is all very strictly controlled and gatekept by the editors of the modern media. So what is it that made you think that this was worth doing, Anthony? It's, you know, it's some, for someone to decide, right, I want to, you know, sort of call these MPs to account. What was it that tipped you over the edge and made you think this is worth doing?
Well, because of the reason you said, because in the past there were proper hustings meetings where all the candidates were invited and had an equal chance to put their views forward and answer questions. Now what happens is the main parties seem to gang together and have these very small hustings meetings where they don't allow or they don't invite the other candidates to come along, which I personally think is pretty disgraceful. But the problem with these sort of meetings is very controlled in the sort of questions which are asked. So they basically don't have any difficult questions. So I thought, well, what is the major issue which is causing the cost of living rise at the moment and the inflation situation, and that is the government's policies on Ukraine and Russia, and the fact that because they've been sanctioning Russia, that's actually gone against the government in terms of it's created an energy crisis, because if we have our government cut the country off from key energy supplies and do that alongside other countries, then it's going to mean that the energy supplies which are available in the world are much more expensive, which is what has happened. But what I wanted to do was find out if any of the nine candidates in this by-election had a different point of view, because I was aware that all of the candidates of the main parties broadly supported the government's line on Ukraine and Russia, which is basically pouring money into the Ukraine, the President Zelensky government, and with no reference at all to having permission from the electorate.
Okay, so when are these up and coming by-elections?
Well, we've had two. The most recent one is going to be this Thursday, the 15th of December, and then there will be another one in West Lancashire by the end of January. They haven't actually given the date yet, but it's likely to be then. And to me, it's a key thing to ask. And my view was, if we can get the candidates, particularly the main parties, to answer the question, then it's going to start a public debate on this whole issue, because that's what has been missing. And we've had this horrendous effect on our economy, on people's cost of living, and it's all been done without the permission of the electorate. There's been no consent to this whatsoever.
Okay, so just remind us where and when this week, whereabouts is this by-election, and what did you ask the candidates? What was your response?
It's actually in Stretford and Urmston, which is in the sort of Manchester area, and the question I actually asked them was basically related to the situation in Ukraine and Russia, and pointed out that there was no general election mandate or any other form of mandate for the policies which were being carried out by the government. And I said, did they believe in having a public debate on the issue? And did they support the current policy on Ukraine and Russia? And did they support having a national referendum on the issue? Because it's something which is a cross-party issue, it's not something which can be resolved by a general election. So it's a typical issue which needs to be resolved by a referendum.
Okay, so just to give us an idea, who's standing in this election?
Basically, do you want the names or do you just want the parties?
Well, no, the parties will do.
You've got a Conservative, Liberal Democrat, Green, Reform, Labour, and also you've got Social Democratic Party, which is a very small party. And all of those candidates did not respond at all. I did get a response from an independent candidate from the Freedom Alliance Party and from the Rejoin the EU Party.
Okay, look, I'm assuming that you emailed them, did you?
Yes, it was all emailed, yeah.
Okay, and did you just give them one chance to answer or more than one?
About three chances at least. So it wasn't unfair in any way at all. They were asked very politely and courteously, so it was pretty appalling that they didn't.
Yeah, I mean, I had a similar thing on the politics show in Bristol where I had a list of city slackers, I called them, who were the people who just would not come onto the radio to talk about the city, what was happening in the city, the policies, the various things going through the city council, national politics. I would say actually something like 2/3 of the 50, was it 60 or so city councillors were quite happy to do that. But there were this sort of isolated group who just simply refused to return phone calls, and or sometimes worse, where they would say, yes, we'll book, and then maybe at the last minute, a few hours before the show was due to go live, I would get a text from them saying, oh, sorry, I've double booked you, I can't come, or I'm sick. And it became clear with my city slackers, the list of them, that they just simply didn't want to, you know, sit in front and answer questions on the radio. One of them I always remember saying, actually, I'd rather, I think it's better and more effective going door to door. And I'm thinking, well, actually, you reach a lot more people on the radio than you would going door to door. But, you know, I try and be polite with them. I wouldn't say that to them. But anyway, so there are certainly politicians out there who don't like answering questions. So you've tried several times, but with many of these candidates, it doesn't sound to me as if you've succeeded. So can you just sum up, you know, the results of your questions?
Well, yes, I will. But first of all, I will agree with you that there's a large number of candidates and people in office who get away with not responding to questions and have done for years. And personally, I think something should be done about that in terms of expected standards that the electorate requires of a candidate and a politician. But anyway, on to the responses. The first one was from Christina Glancy of the Freedom Alliance Party, and she said, "Thank you for the letter, my comments and those of the Freedom Alliance are the Ukraine war is a conflict deliberately manufactured by the NATO allies for the purpose of creating an inflationary crisis which will further impoverish their own populations, destitute people are more willing to submit to state control, and control is very much the sole objective of the globalist parasites and their captured governments in the UK and elsewhere. I do not underestimate the very real suffering that is occurring in eastern Ukraine and the autonomous regions. Unfortunately, the British media cannot be relied upon to accurately or impartially report on the conflict. Ideally, MPs from all parties would be able to see through the propaganda and pressurise the government to bring this new conflict to an end. But relying on existing MPs to act with anything approaching integrity, independence and intelligence is an absurd fantasy. I support the concept of asking the British people via a referendum whether our nation should adopt a neutral position on the conflict. Unfortunately, they deliberately distort the result. Then Jim Neal from the Rejoin the EU Party. Dear Anthony, I suspect that objective analysis would reveal that the West might have avoided the Ukraine invasion had it engaged with Russia differently in the years leading up to the invasion. However, unprovoked aggression can never be justified, and Putin's authoritarian regime is highly unpleasant, to say the least. For two reasons, I would not support a referendum on the government's Ukraine policies. First, as a matter of principle, not a great referenda. Despite the world over, are familiar with the use of plebiscites to give popular legitimacy to courses of actions they have already decided upon. What makes a vote more or less democratic is the quality of deliberation that takes place before the vote is taken. And from the point of view of empowering people, what counts is not simply that they can vote, but in voting, they are organised. Taken as a practical matter, I'm not sure what purpose a referendum would serve in the present case. The conflict in Ukraine is a proxy war between the United States and Russia and will only end when the two are ready to negotiate. The UK and Europe cannot diverge from US policy in Ukraine as they are reliant on America for their security. In this respect, the conflict highlights the relevance of the global goal of European strategy autonomy as pursued especially by the government of France. And the other one, which perhaps reflects what an independent person might think who wasn't too informed, as his title gives the independent candidate. Dear Anthony, to be honest, I didn't really know much about the Ukraine until the war started. I knew Fiddler on the Roof is based on Archaeum's own upbringing near modern-day Kiev. And she goes on about the Bee Gees song Odessa, City of the Black Sea, from their album OLL Odessa, also was sung. If you think, if she goes on about the lyrics, you think your life isn't right, you know, the day isn't right. So she goes on about the lyrics there. And then she says that sometimes that the truth is we have to fight against the police for democracy. As Shakespeare put it, Henry V, in peace there's nothing, so becomes a man, has modern stillness and humility. But when the dust of war blows in our ears, then imitate the action of the tiger. Stephen the sinews, summon up the blood, disguise fair nature with hard-favoured rage. Basically, that is what we have to do with other nations. Those countries which have remained neutral and refrained from aggressive warmongering are in economically better positions. Well, we know what happens when people remain neutral. whereas the UK stands up for itself and for others. And finally, you ask if I would support a referendum, and having a public debate on this issue, which has been denied to the people so far. Well, the answer is no. That's what we elect MPs for. That's their job, and they should understand the views of their constituents and put the case forward. All I've seen from the British public is great generosity to the Ukraine, and I hope this answers your questions. Now, I could quite easily be critical of some of the points in the replies, but and I could say some of the replies are pretty ill-informed. But having said that, I do give a lot of credit to people who have the courage to give their views and are accountable. So that's basically it.
At least they've taken the time out of their day to actually address your very important questions. So I think the story here, Anthony, is look, I mean, it's the main parties. They just haven't even bothered to get back to you.
Well, what's sort of concerning also is the Reform Party is supposed to believe in, you know, change and being a fresh start in politics. They didn't bother. And the Social Democratic Party, who are a very small party, but they've had an electoral agreement with the Reform Party for the general election, just for half a dozen seats. But it's ironic, it's such a good quality agreement that they're standing against each other in this by-election.
What about the... What would you... am I allowed to ask you? Can you rate them all? Which one do you think was the best reply?
I personally think the Freedom Alliance one was the best reply.
So who are these people? Who are the Freedom Alliance? Who is the Freedom Alliance?
Right, well, the Freedom Alliance was... Freedom Alliance Party was actually set up by people who believe in freedom issues, and it started shortly after the lockdowns were brought in over 2 years ago in March of 2020. And whilst a lot of people were engaged in other activities, protests and so on, this group of people decided that long term, to get the change which was needed, we had to get into positions of power. I think it would be fair to say the Freedom Alliance Party does reflect the views of a lot of people in the freedom movement, even though there have been one or two other smaller parties which reflect freedom views, and one of the problems has been that they've, in these by-elections, they generally stood against each other, which has weakened the position because the electorate has thought, well, they haven't got a chance of winning, so I won't give them a vote. I mean, it's a bit like the Labour Party having four Labour candidates in an election. You wouldn't take them too seriously, would you, really? So that is an issue, but I think with credit to the Freedom Alliance Party, they've done very well to establish a UK-wide party in 2 years. And although they haven't really achieved very much in terms of votes, that's pretty much how things happen with new parties in the UK with the first-past-the-post system. So we'll have to see what happens on that.
But well, I think, let's be honest, they don't stand a cat in hell's chance, do they?
No, they don't, because of the first-past-the-post system and also because of the way the media are, because if they're completely locked out of having any case with the public, you know, if they're not mentioned, they haven't got a chance. In fact, ironically, the only chance they get is because the BBC give every candidate a one-minute broadcast, and that's the only fair thing in any of these by-elections. But of course, these broadcasts are not really listened to that much. They're only a minute, and they generally sort of halfway through the election when most people have already decided how they're going to vote. So it's a difficult job for somebody trying to get success.
Yeah, well, it's almost impossible. I mean, they've done it in Germany, for example, with the Alternative for Deutschland party. Actually, we did do it, I suppose you could say, with Nigel Farage and initially UKIP and then the Brexit party. They had a great deal of influence, actually, on one of the big parties, the Tory parties in this case. And I wonder if you think that there's any possibility that smaller parties that haven't actually got a lot of electorate here in the UK first past the post system might be able to put pressure on the bigger parties.
Well, of course, you go back to the 2015 general election, UKIP did actually do pretty well. And they had a pretty broad church of candidates. And I think the new parties like the Freedom Alliance need to bear in mind that you've got to, if you're standing up for freedom, you've just got to accept you've got to have a broad cross-section of opinion because, you know, how else are you going to get 650 candidates standing at the general election? You know, there's a lot to work on. I mean, you look at the advantage, the situation with the National Rally Party in France. They've managed to get up to, what, between 30 and 40% of the vote. But that's taken them a lot of time, and they've had to bring in some liberals, some greens, some socialists, and some conservative parties. They've had to try and, you know, have a broader political platform to put forward. I mean, this is one reason why I think the Reform Party hasn't got much chance at the moment, because they're basically seen as a replacement or alternative to the Conservative Party, and they've got absolutely no social-type policies which would attract, say, the Labour supporters to vote for them. So that's the sort of thing the National Rally's been doing in France, that they've been looking at things from the marketing point of view and seeing how to get people to vote for them. And this is, again, a problem we have with the small parties in the UK, like the Freedom Alliance Party, that, you know, there's the danger that you emphasise policies you actually like, but do the public actually understand them? That's another thing. So all
the
parties...
The most important thing, I think, is do the public even know you exist? Because, you know, you need in our system, you definitely need to have a good high profile amongst the public in order to persuade people that you stand a chance, and they may put their ex next to your or in your box.
Yes.
Anyway, look,
yeah.
Anthony, just to wrap it up, can you just tell people where they can follow your work and maybe say something about other work you're up to, please?
Yes, well, if anyone wants to get hold of me, I'm on Twitter at Tony_Weber or Anthony David Weber on Facebook, or they can connect with me on the email, which is tony@antiweber.com, or I can be contacted via Unity News.
Brilliant. If you don't mind, it'd be great to get you to report on the questions that you're asking to the candidates in this forthcoming by-election in the new year as well, because I think one of the most interesting things is when these people who are standing to be MPs can't even be bothered to reply whilst they're standing as candidates. It doesn't say much for the chance of them bothering to reply to one of your letters once they win. Anthony Weber, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Tony. Thank you.